Blog Talk Radio.
Coming at you live is the standing 8 count, and it starts now.
Before the first round, I make a back down. I'm coming for the crown, and no, we don't back down. I beat the track down, screaming loud, the crowds gon' react. Wow, pound for pound, I'm the best in this game, man, hands down. The way I stand out, ain't looking for a handout. I'm undisputed, gassed up, and never ran out. I'm underrated, undefeated, and look to brand out.
Standing 8 count live. It's a little bit later than normal, but we're live.
Whoa, Elijah is back on his PUBG helicopter ride, apparently. What's up, Elijah?
Not much. I remember I told you my computer got the blue screen, so.
I gotcha. That's right. Did you say you're using a Bluetooth?
No, my computer got the blue screen.
No, I said, are you using a Bluetooth on your phone?
No, I'm using my phone and a headset.
Oh, you should just talk into your phone. Your headset kicks major feedback. It's like when we grab. Oh, you sound kind of tight though. I'm kind of feeling it.
What?
I'm kind of feeling it.
Yay.
No. Okay, plug in. You can plug in your lawnmower. That's fine. I won't be mad at you for it. No, we got some fun to talk about. Man, that is extremely distracting. Ladies and gentlemen, you are getting 2 hours of a helicopter.
Well,
Elijah will be live reporting from Mexico, where he watched the Miguel Burchill fight on Bien Español Sports. Wasn't that the station it was on?
I don't even remember, honestly. I just watched it on YouTube.
Oh, okay. Well, I did not, unfortunately. Was it even an entertaining fight?
Kind of. I mean, I forgot the guy's name. Samuel something, I think. I mean, he got... The fight only lasted like 3 rounds, if I remember correctly. And that dude like had some moments, but Burchill like ended up stopping him, so.
How long did it go?
I think it went 3 rounds, if I remember correctly.
Oh, wow. So he didn't really do anything.
Yeah. No, it was a short fight, but like the first round, I thought Maxwell Uwuku. It was his name, Maxwell. I thought Maxwell. He won the first round.
Wow!
So
that's, you know, Burchill definitely. I mean, is he the for sure stalwart of this division though?
I think so. I mean,
can't really think of anybody off the top of my head that is really going to mess with him. I mean, I know that people have been thinking that Lomachenko could be a possibility for him, but I think Lomachenko would kill him.
So. Now, that's because he's, what, one weight class above Lomachenko?
Yeah, like if Lomachenko were to move up or whatever, but...
That's not too bad, though. Yep, I'm
no.
Here. I was just letting you run with this segment because I didn't see that fight.
So, I mean, yeah, for like, cause for him, yeah, I think he's probably the best fighter at his division right now until maybe someone from the lower class moves up or something, but.
Where do you even go next then for Burchill?
You know, I can't really say. I can't really think of anything off the top of my head right now with him. I mean, who are some other guys that he could possibly fight?
Well, I mean, you obviously throughout the Lomachenko fight, which I don't necessarily see something that I think will happen. To be honest with you, it's one of those, like, how many times can he move up or keep moving up? And, you know, eventually he's just going to hit a wall. And I mean, I feel like he's going to 135 before he sticks around to fight Burchelt at 130. Yeah. Like, I don't see Lomachenko as a guy who's extremely excited about unifying all these titles as much as some of these other guys do, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. But yeah, I mean, because he's not the tallest guy in the world, and he's not like, you know, the biggest guy in the world. So,
I mean, Gervonta Davis is obviously going to always attract because he's got the Mayweather ties. Alberto Machado has one of the titles. Kenichi Ogawa has one of the other titles, but I don't even know if he's fought really, you know, anyone even worth mentioning aside from that Tevin Farmer fight, if you remember that one, that you didn't even think he won.
No.
I mean, you got Jezreel Corrales in the division. Francisco Vargas is always somebody that's going to draw some money, I think, because of his fights with Miura. I mean, Mickey Roman's in the division. Robinson Castellanos is in the division. You know, depending what Salido does, he's still there. So, I mean, you know, there's respectable fighters in the division.
Yeah, and Corral has just lost to Machado, so.
Yeah. So he still hasn't even set up another fight. And it sounds like Lomachenko is in the next week is going to sign the dotted line to fight Linares, from what I heard.
Okay. That'll be a good fight, or that'll be a good fight on paper. I just don't know how good it will be when the fight happens.
You know, and that's once again where I don't see Lomachenko waiting for Burchelt. I see him going to take this fight next.
Yeah, I mean, who knows what'll happen. Let's just hope it's exciting.
Oh, I'm sure. Well, I mean, if it's got anything with Lomachenko on it. I guess then we can move on from Miguel Burchill here.
Yeah, I don't really have a ton to say about him, I guess.
That's all good. I just, like I said, I didn't watch it. I thought I would let you lead in with the only fight worth watching this weekend. But we'll just leave it as it is, I guess. The Gilberto Ramirez against Mr. Habib Ahmed drew 741,000 viewers on ESPN. That also had the Anquejas Israel Gonzalez undercard as well. Decent number, I guess, depending what they were going against. Oh, excuse me. I'm going to sneeze. I know it's just going to happen. So, you know, ESPN seemingly isn't upset with these ratings, but now it looks like the Jeff Horn versus Terrence Crawford fight is going to be, and I think it's like April 4th or something like that, is going to actually be on pay-per-view for ESPN. Did you see this now?
I did not see that. Wow. I mean, sucks that it won't be free now, but hopefully it's a good thing for the numbers, and hopefully people buy it. I mean, could be a risky move for ESPN by putting those two on pay-per-view. I mean, even because, I mean, Terrence Crawford is an amazing boxer, but I don't know if him fighting Jeff Horn is going to be able to carry a pay-per-view.
I think it's a terrible decision, and I think they're starting to realize it. Crawford and Victor Postol in July of 2016 only did 50,000 buys on pay-per-view. That's like a TNA show.
And Postol is by far the superior fighter over Horn, in my opinion.
So it sounds like Bob Arum and ESPN, it might be ESPN calling the shot, they are putting the Brandon Rios-Manny Pacquiao fight on the undercard.
Interesting. That's crazy to think that
Manny Pacquiao is like not the main event of a pay-per-view.
Do you think this is deep down them making that the pay-per-view without saying it? Because that's your seller. People are going to buy that fight. They're not going to, you know what I mean? Like people will buy it just because of the Manny Pacquiao name. But
Manny Pacquiao's fighting Brandon Rios again?
Or not, Mike Alvarado. Same thing to me. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say, didn't Manny Pacquiao...
Rios is fighting Danny Garcia. That's what I was thinking.
Okay.
But I don't know, man. It's... This to me says that, you know, once again, we know how great he is, but something just doesn't appeal with Terrence Crawford, and I can't figure it out.
Well, he hasn't got a big enough name yet. Because,
you know,
he hasn't really fought.
Is it one of those things again where it's like, well, that's my point. Is it one of those things where maybe it really isn't? It's just a fact that he just doesn't want to fight anyone. We talked about this a couple weeks ago about some of these guys that he didn't want to get in the ring with. He didn't have any interest to. He was perfectly fine doing what he's doing in his own hometown, making money. I mean, if I'm Bob Arum, you know, this dude's your heir apparent, and he doesn't make no money for you.
Well, I don't know why. I don't know where you're saying that he doesn't. He's not fighting people.
We had a conversation like 3 weeks ago that he didn't want to fight this guy or didn't want to fight Spence and didn't want to fight this guy.
Well, he wouldn't fight. Why would he fight Spence's first fight moving up to that weight?
I don't know. We read the article on the air like three shows ago.
I know, but he's fighting the guy that we were possibly like ripping on him for not fighting. He's fighting him this fight.
Yep.
So I don't get it, I guess. He's fighting the guy that we were complaining that he was being complained about for not fighting. He's fighting him now. So what's the complaint?
Okay, my complaint is why does he not draw? Why does nobody outside of Nebraska care about Terrence Crawford?
Because he hasn't really fought outside of Nebraska all that much. He doesn't have a name built up yet. It's not because he's not fighting anyone. Or not fighting anyone.
You know, why doesn't he want to fight outside of Nebraska? Like, why does this guy not want to become a big deal? Like, why? I just don't understand why he's not going out and going above and beyond. If I'm Terrence Crawford, I would have took that Pacquiao fight the second it got brought up because I knew I could beat him. And I knew I could go to Vegas and make even more money and become a bigger star than I already should be.
But
he didn't
do
it.
But do you know why he didn't do it?
No, that's what I'm asking you.
I don't know why he didn't do it. Why? How do we really know what he wants to do and what his promoters want him to do?
You're my boxing analyst, so I'm asking you the questions because I don't know these answers, Elijah.
I'm just saying, like you sound like you're ragging on the guy, and you don't
I'm ragging on the situation. I'm confused as to why this guy is rumored to fight these top of the line guys, and then the fights don't happen, and then he just fights, you know, like Hank Lundy in Nebraska.
Who was he supposed to fight before he fought Hank Lundy?
I don't know. That's what I'm asking. I'm trying to figure. This is where we're not connecting here. Is I'm asking you why he's not a big deal and nobody cares. Is I'm trying to get an answer from you as to why you think this could be.
I told you why I think just because he's not well known yet. I mean,
why doesn't he want to fight outside of Nebraska, Elijah?
You said that he doesn't want to fight outside of Nebraska.
You said all he does is fight in Nebraska. So I was asking why he only fights there.
I said his fights are usually in Nebraska. I don't know why he only fights in Nebraska. I don't think it's because he doesn't want to fight anywhere else.
Okay.
You're the one making assumptions about the guy. Like, I don't know. Like, who else could he have fought besides Hank Lundy?
That's the first name that came into my mind.
I'm pretty sure Frank Lundy was like his mandatory, if I remember correctly.
Is it Frank or Hank?
I said Hank.
Oh, then he said Frank. I was like, we don't even know this guy's name. We can stop talking Crawford because this is like having sex with a wall. This is getting nowhere. If anybody has a guess that they would like to just make an educated analysis of this, 1-347-857-1060, and just tell me your opinion as to why you feel he's not fighting outside of Lincoln, Nebraska, because that's what I'm trying to figure out on this topic right here, is why he always fights there. And I'm just curious if anyone has a guess or would like to make an assumption. What else is on the docket here? No one's taking any slick pock shots.
Dude, we're done for the night.
All right. What else we got on the docket here? Canelo says he is determined to knock out Triple G in the rematch. I'm completely confused by this one. He did nothing to hurt Gennady Golovkin. At least it didn't seem like he did. Triple G controlled most of the fight. You know, a lot of us, we watched it. We gave you our thoughts. You know, Elijah thought he won. I gave him the fight, too. I understood how some people thought there could be a draw, but to be really honest, it is what it is. And you got to kind of roll with the punches. A lot of people think in this rematch that it's going to be something that Canelo can handle. A lot of people think that the guys that are, you know, it's like the Andre Ward style where they think that when they come back that they can win the rematch because they've seen it. They've seen what this guy can throw. And a lot of people think that maybe Triple G has thrown everything he's been able to throw. I'm still in the camp that he kind of just played around and had fun with Danny Jacobs. Almost cost him the fight, but I still think that that is something that did happen. Regardless of the fact, we saw a less monster polarizing figure in Gennady Golovkin against Canelo, which was a little confusing. I thought, you know, if he did his quote-unquote Mexican style, he could pin him against the rope. He could work him, and he would have been able to do it, and he showed that. But I don't know. It's one of those interesting facts. Oh, I think Elijah's back with us. Elijah, you back?
Yep.
Okay. So, more people are coming out, putting out the fact that they think Canelo's going to beat Triple G. We reviewed that fight a couple weeks ago. We talked about that as well, but it's interesting how many people continue to bring out the fact of it with Max Kellerman, who's one of the smarter minds, continues to say that his biggest confusion with the entire fight was Triple G not fighting his quote unquote Mexican style and finishing him off the rope with it when he had him a few times. And, you know, maybe it's just he was showing enough respect to Canelo and this time will be a lot different. But we see Brandon Rios came right out and said Canelo knows Golovkin can't hurt him and he's going to beat him. I mean, all these fighters keep thinking he's going to beat him. Are they wrong?
In my opinion, yes, they are wrong. I mean, Brandon Rios, dude's taking too many punches to the head. Like, to me, I felt like even though Triple G wasn't as aggressive as he usually is, you could tell he was still bothering Canelo. And I just think that he might have been respecting Canelo a little too much and feeling him out a little too much because he probably figured that he was going to get the decision. I think now, though, this fight, he's going to be way more aggressive, and he's
not going to let it go to decision. He's going to try and probably knock him out.
Canelo says that he feels he's going to be the one doing the knockouts. I think this is going to end up being a decision again. I don't think either guy's knocking the other guy out. Do you think we're seeing somebody sleep?
I think that if Triple G is to win, he's probably got to knock Canelo out. My opinion is, yes, I think Triple G will stop Canelo. I also think that he'll probably go to the body more this fight.
That would have been nice.
Last fight, he really did not go to the body much at all.
Billy Joe Saunders came out and said that he is hoping Gennady Golovkin wins the match because he knows that Golovkin will want to unify, whereas he feels Saul Canelo Alvarez has no interest in fighting him if he beats Golovkin. Do you think that's the case, or do you think Canelo has interest in fighting Saunders as well?
Well, I can't really say. I don't like to do the whole a fighter's ducking another fighter, but stylistically, if Saunders is able to fight the way he does, or he did against Lemieux, if he fights the way he does against Lemieux, he's kind of a bad matchup for Canelo, like style-wise. So, I mean, I don't like a fight with Saunders. I don't think that's a fight that Canelo would be jumping up and down to make because of the mismatch style-wise and the fact that Saunders is probably not going to bring in as much money as someone else he could probably fight, I guess. So,
One of the things, too, Billy Joe Saunders says is he feels that Canelo has no great ambitions to win all the titles at 160. It's hard work, and besides, it would require that Canelo fight a lot of tough guys that could potentially beat him, like Jermell Charlo, Danny Jacobs, Demetrius Andrade, and Sergey Derevianchenko. That is the catalyst. He says, please God, Golovkin win, rightfully so, because he did last time, and then I will go on to hold every title in the division this year. Is Billy Joe Saunders Nostradamus? And is he going to hold every title at 160 before the year's over?
I would say that's a big no. I don't think he can beat Triple G or Danny Jacobs. So,
if he beats Golovkin in the fall, he may sneak out for like a month or two with the titles. Just by default, because there's no calendar left. So he...
True.
But that brings exactly what you said, though. I don't think he beats Golovkin. So I don't even know why, you know what I mean? Like, I'm right there.
Yeah.
With you on that one. I don't think that's something that's happening.
Any of the guys that could be title... Like, any of the main guys, like, besides maybe Canelo, like Triple G, Danny Jacobs, any of those guys that could potentially have a title or be title holders, he's not beaten. So,
you know, just touching on any of these, Jermell Charlo says he wants the winner of Golovkin Canelo, and he said he's going to keep knocking every single person in the division out until he basically forces them into fighting him. Is he your most dangerous fighter at 160 that's not in that title match? Or is it still Jacobs or Saunders or the like?
I still think it's Jacobs or Saunders. I need to see a little more from Charlo before I say that.
Yeah.
So
I can agree with that one. You know, it's looking like that's kind of the way it's going to go. You mentioned the Lomachenko with Burchelt that, you know, could have had a shot. Bob Arum is playing Lomachenko and Jorge Linares May 12th, Madison Square Garden. From the sounds of it, is if Pacquiao runs through Alvarado in November, they may do Lomachenko and Manny Pacquiao. Is that the fight to get Lomachenko? Is that, I mean, yes, I understand your disgust from it, and I think a lot of boxing purists may feel the same way. But I mean, if you're Bob Arum, isn't this the smartest thing? Like, you know, you look at that top ranked camp, and Lomachenko might be your star. You know, he might be your guy over, you know, Bud and Horn and those guys. Get him Manny Pacquiao. Yeah.
Money wise, it makes sense. I mean, you have the young transcendent talent in Lomachenko, and then you have the old guy who was like a transcendent talent at one time, who's still a big name, who's still fighting, who still might have something left in the tank. You know, so it makes sense that way, but to people who know the sport, it doesn't really have a very good matchup to me.
I don't know if I see anybody around that weight class that's going to do anything to Lomachenko, man. But it's
like the people that see highlights. Like the people that see highlights are like, and that's all I really watch are highlights and be like, oh my God, Lomachenko, Manny Pacquiao. I'll buy that on pay per view.
You know, and I'll say
I've only seen highlights of like Lomachenko on ESPN. You know, like. And they maybe have watched like a few Manny Pacquiao fights.
Look, I'll 100% admit that if you were to give me this, you know, if this was a fight where we could get Pacquiao 5 years ago, oh my God, you would need to have somebody to count each hand on each of their body. You'd need four punch counters.
Yeah.
Like, could you imagine how many punches may be thrown in a round? That'd be anarchy. So, you know, I get it. Kudos to Bob Arum if he's going to do it and be smart about it. I think Pacquiao may know that it's a fight he's not going to win, but I give him credit, I guess, for basically, you know, it's kind of like the veteran hands in pro wrestling when they, you know, they put the kid over, you could call it, because that's what he's going to be doing. I, you know, never say never, but I don't see much of a fight that Pacquiao is going to put against Lomachenko, man. I mean, does this even get out of the sixth round?
Manny Pacquiao is a tough dude. He might surprise you with how long he lasts. He definitely will probably last longer than Regan Diao.
That was the scrubbest ass fight I've ever seen from a prolific guy like that.
You know, so, I mean, like, I think it'll last. I don't think it goes a distance, but I think it lasts a while. And I think it's probably competitive in spots, but I think Lomachenko easily beats him. At this point,
I think Klitschko kind of drew a nice little blueprint for, you know, if you're a Hall of Famer, you really can't be counted out. And I guess with you kind of saying that, you know, it is Manny Pacquiao, I think I might have, I'm a giant Pacquiao fan, but I think maybe I did not give him enough credit talking about this right now. And I think I did fail with my analysis on that, because I think you're right. It's guys that good are that good for a reason. And you never know what's going to happen in a fight. I still don't think he beats him, but yeah, I mean, you know, Klitschko set the tone with Joshua. Things are possible. So I got to pump the brakes maybe on my half round or half the fight type finish on Pacquiao. You know, I'll eat the crow on that one.
Eat it.
Tyson Fury called out 49-year-old Antonio Magic Man Tarver and 46-year-old Shannon the Cannon Briggs last week, saying he wants to fight both of them and that he would be sending contracts to them soon.
What, do you fight both of them in the same night?
Tarver and Briggs will have to wait Fury to take his comeback fight in April before he picks one of them to fight after that. Tarver took to social media and said, "Haters going to say I have no shot, but history tells is different. 100, put up or shut up, and don't send that contract horse and carriage. It might not get here."
I don't know. I think he has a point. Tyson Fury is not very good to me.
A lot of people said Tarver didn't look bad in his last fight against Cunningham. Tarver had kept fighting. He probably would have been a top contender in line for a big payday against Anthony Joshua. Tarver will be a real big problem for Fury with his boxing skills, speed, respectable power, and southpaw stance. There doesn't look like there's much fat on Tarver at all, judging from the photo taken of him. Then there's a photo of Tyson Fury with Ricky Hatton. And Tyson Fury looks like he has a photoshopped gut on him, like an Austin Powers scene. He looks horrific. Elijah.
That Tyson Fury, does that surprise you?
No, God. No, it doesn't surprise me. I'm gonna screenshot this picture and send it to you. I'm with you. It doesn't surprise me. But this picture surprises me. If that makes any sense, because oh my goodness, I tell you what, man. And like, I don't know if it's him playing a joke or him having fun or what he's doing, but Ricky Hatton is standing on the ring apron next to him, like trying to stick his gut out to look as fat as Tyson Fury looks.
Oh man.
Like, he looks really bad. I thought I had this picture, but maybe I don't anymore. I'm going to go like one or two more pages and then I'm going to give up, I think. I don't know, Tyson Fury, and I mean, I guess Fury's doing it the right way. You know, he's keeping his name out there in case he ever does want to fight. But this heavyweight division, has just continued to grow and grow and grow, and I don't see any way that he's going to put up much of a fight. I mean, he got Vladimir Klitschko on the worst day of his life, I feel like. You know, that's not we saw against Anthony Joshua, that's not Klitschko. I mean, do you think people even care about Tyson Fury?
Not outside the UK, I don't think. I mean, I don't think anybody in the United States really cares much for him. So he's just trying to keep his name relevant and trying to stay in line for a big fight, I guess. But calling out these guys, I mean, Shannon Briggs, they both still fight, but they're old. Like, Shannon Briggs was trying to, like, goat Vladimir Klitschko into a fight, following him around, like, everywhere.
Oh, that's right. Didn't he, like, throw water in his face or something, too?
Yeah, in a restaurant. They got into a fight at a restaurant.
Oh, my gosh. And he could even goat Klitschko into a fight. I don't. Like, I get it. You're right. I mean, does this dude need to earn a shot before calling all these people out, or is he legitimately going to be able to continue to ride out the fact that he beat Klitschko? Like, is that all he needs?
I mean, I would say that he needs to earn his shot, being that he literally just kind of quit and retired and took himself out of the game. So, I mean, I think he needs to earn it, but he's obviously using his win against Klitschko as a strategy to not have to earn it, you know?
Yeah.
Which is smart for him.
He's another one of these guys that I see come out and just start talking, and I'm like, this dude is just a clown. Okay, I found this picture. I'm sending you this picture right now. It is what is? Oh, you texted me something here again. Oh, okay, here I'm sending you this picture, man. I just I mean, this will go up on our Facebook page, I think, because this is just you can't. I mean, unless this is a fake picture. I mean, I'll let you be the judge here when you see this, because it's unbelievable.
Oh my God! How is
Did you see it?
Wow!
like, dude, how do you take that seriously?
You can't, man. I don't like that. That's bad.
Oh my gosh! It's so bad. It's
dude,
so
looks like
bad.
He looks like he hasn't worked out in years.
he's like, he looks like he should be going to do like one of those tough men competitions.
He looks like he should be on the Biggest Loser.
Well, Tyson Fury, I mean, maybe that's kind of a hint. I say that we now that we've dogged him, a lot more has come out, just namesake and speak about what is going down with this heavyweight division. We're gonna hit you with a new break. We got a ton of new sponsorship that we want you to pay attention to. They're occupying our time, and we'd like you to give them your time as well. We'll be right back. We're talking Wilder, Ortiz, Joshua, Parker. You know, we got the David Hay, Tony Bellew card, where Eddie Hearn is saying he wants Tony Bellew to fight Andre Ward, of all people, after David Hay. I don't see why, but we'll talk it regardless because, hey, I love all this random news. And Eddie Hearn, after the way he was running his mouth we played last week, it's always fun to bring him in the light. Don't go away.
Your late night hip hop and R&B podcast, Soda Sound Radio, hosted by Kyle Halfpint Adams. Every Thursday night, right here on the Strong Style Media Network, catch up on your latest on hip hop and R&B and hear Minnesota talent at 10 p.m. Central.
But if you trust the way I feel, I won't fold from the cards that you deal. Let's journey life together and make it worthwhile.
Take it back like time. See, my life is like a movie, no rewinding. Killing mics like I got a license.
Conviction, my belief don't have religion, just a higher power. Who power? I'm not so happy with it. But I take a breath, regain my pep. Check my feet when I'm walking to see if it ain't.
I seen it all more than I care to reveal. I'm always sort of clear the air for the real. That's why I'm aiming at the grill, man, because it's how I feel. Nobody being sincere. We need some changes for real.
Again, that's Thursdays right here on the Strong Style Media Network. Thursdays at 10 p.m. Central. And if you're a musician, you want to get your music heard on the show, send an MP3 over to SodaSound at StrongStyleMedia.com. Peanut. Peanut.
This right here is Alpha Brain. I just drank some of this in a shake. I got to tell you right now, I couldn't be more clear.
You're clarity. 50, so I use it. I don't do anything without it. I'm addicted to it.
I know, but I'm 48, but I feel like I'm 26. I have a boner right now. But I have so much energy. Like, I actually, I'm, and I took an Alpha Brain, and I never do. I want to fight you. I want to fight you. I want to go, chin down, and I want to bang, bang. Oh,
hey, I'm Dr. Apking. What's up?
He's been distraught ever since his friend smoked him last week in fantasy football. Now he's grabbed this post and he won't respond.
He's got losonic plays.
What is?
He's a loser.
He's not a loser. Okay, he's a loser. What can he do?
With DraftKings, he could have easily challenged his friend to a rematch.
I can't. What are you? I can't see that.
You need glasses. I'm also an optometrist.
At DraftKings, you can play free private contests whenever you want.
Strong Style Media presents Sportscast Radio, the one that started it all, with your host, Ryan Cook, and me, Jordan Jiskra. We're going to be giving you everything, and I mean everything, from baseball, football, basketball, hockey, field hockey, soccer, bobsleigh, boxing, poker, sports, basketball, 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 basketball,
Bounty, MasterChef, Survivor, and even that weird sport where they do the hurdles and jump puddles in track and field.
All right, maybe not that one. But from the college to the pros and from the rings to the rink, we've got you covered. Sportscast Radio.
Hey, I totally was not paying attention. I forgot that they don't have music at the end of those. When I made them today, so that way nobody had to use my music. So totally was not paying attention there. Let me do this. Oh, yeah, as Jordan said, Sportscast Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen.
All right, there's our lead-in music, Elijah.
EC3?
I didn't add anything to the commercial. I just uploaded the commercial, so I forgot to. Speaking of trouble, see, this is a perfect segue. Speaking of trouble, Deontay Wilder said when the rematch happens after the first fight, he will not be the B-side. He will be the A-side. Obviously, that has to point signs that he's assuming he wins. Maybe, you know, if it's a draw like Golovkin Canelo, who knows how it goes. But once again, the way that, some of the stuff comes out, we listened to the Eddie Hearn talk where it sounded like Eddie Hearn was causing the issues in this not happening, not Joshua, not Wilder. It sounds like it's going to happen, and they're doing it the right way by kind of making it a mini tournament, which is cool. As long as everything goes down, as long as Luis Ortiz in the next 3 weeks doesn't get busted for drugs again or steroids. I mean, he's on a short leash. Hopefully they put him in like – he needs to go in like solitary confinement for the last 3 weeks here. Like, is that too far-fetched?
He can't be that stupid to screw this up. He's getting like a third – like a third, fourth, fifth, like, strike. Like, he can't be that stupid. You can't lock him up. You just have to let him be him and hope that he's not that stupid.
Get him in, like, a, like, give him, like, a nice, like, penthouse with a gym in and, like, a ring in it. And you can bring him whatever he needs to eat every day. You could have somebody, like, in one of those, like, camps where they get to piece through the food before it goes to the fighter or something. Luis Ortiz, like, it's this simple. This is what you need.
He needs some milk.
Just get him some milk, okay? That'll take care of it. Obviously, Joshua fighting Parker, end of the month. This should be happening. But once again, I mean, we talk about this a lot, but with the way things unfold and the more we hear and the more facts, you know, and when I say the word facts, I'm saying very good, you know, opinion pieces that writers and actual fighters say that are logical and make sense. And one that came out that, you know, you kind of mentioned to me was the big factor of, is Joshua really known in America? Obviously we talked about how, well, if he's not, it's still going to draw more being in the UK. So he still has that leverage, but with that kind of weighing both sides, once again, I mean, should this just be a 50-50 split?
Yeah, I feel like it should be, just because of how it's not necessarily the pedigree. Like, I feel like Joshua has accomplished more at this point.
I agree with that.
But I still don't feel like that he's more, like, well-known than Wilder. I feel like Wilder might be more, like, well-known outside of the UK. So, yeah, I honestly, the two best young heavyweights in the business, one's slightly more accomplished than the other. One might have a bigger name or a bigger personality. I wouldn't, if I was either of them, I wouldn't get into a huge fight about who's the A, who's the B side. I probably would just split everything evenly because they both bring different things to the table.
And think of what they bring to the sport of boxing. I mean, you know, I said flat out, you could say the boxing icon of the year goes to, you know, a lot of people would say the Floyd Connor thing because of the money they made, but Anthony Joshua brought relevance back to the heavyweight division in a fight like that. This guy, you know, I don't want to say it, but I think he's a better, you know, if you broke it into 10 or 12 categories, he's going to score higher than Wilder. I'll admit it. I can openly admit that. So he has the pedigree. Like you said, he's beaten, you know, he's beaten the bigger name. The Klitschko thing is, if you put both resumes side by side, all you have to say is, I beat Vladimir Klitschko. I beat him after he knocked me down and I came back and stopped him. You know, I put on a fight of the year. Now, he doesn't have, I think, the notoriety because he doesn't have those knockouts. More people, I think, see Deontay Wilder because of just what you mentioned with Lomachenko and Pacquiao. They see a highlight. They see Deontay Wilder knockout packages where he looks like Jack from Tekken swinging his arms. Like, remember when you play Tekken and you did like diagonally down and triangle and he swings his arms like a pinwheel? Deontay Wilder does that to human beings, and I fear for their spines, that they're like C2 and C3s aren't going to get snapped in half and their head's going to officially touch their shoulders permanently. Like, I can see that happening.
Which highlight is going to be more impressive to like someone who maybe doesn't follow boxing as much as the purist or whatever, the like Joshua knocking down or stopping Klitschko, or Wilder manhandling Stavern? Like,
yeah, there, that's the one. Oh my god,
knocking out a guy who's not even throwing punches. Like, to the novice person, doesn't really know like all that much about boxing, they're gonna pick the Stavern Wilder highlight and say, whoa, that's way more impressive, he just killed that guy. You know what I mean?
On a side note, I still can't get over, after like 10 seconds, seeing the fear in Berman Stavern's eyes with the anger that Deontay Wilder had that he was having to do this again. Like, I will never forget that. Like, he just walks up to him like, it's like a movie. He walks to Stavern and just swings. Like, it's like Ralphie on Christmas Story when he tackles that ugly redheaded kid, Fred O'Reilly, shave our head, he's hitting him. I think that's why, you know, you're right on the money with it. He's on the PBC shows. We get to see him on Fox. Like, Fox National Television showed Deontay Wilder. NBC showed Deontay Wilder. So I think that, you know, that does benefit Wilder, but you can't knock the ability of Joshua. And that's why I'm right there with you, man. It's, just make it 50-50. And realistically, I don't understand why these guys need to have an ego to the point that they think they need to split this, that this pot shouldn't be split. These guys are saving heavyweight boxing. These guys are making heavyweight boxing relevant again. Embrace that. Yeah. Like, if I'm one of those guys, I go, look, man, we're revolutionizing our division. 50-50 split. If we want to do a rematch, the winner gets the A side in the rematch. Deal. I don't see why that's hard. And if I'm Eddie Hearn and I'm I already forgot the dude's name. Finkel? Was that Wilder's guy?
Shelly Finkel.
I kept thinking Sheila. And I'm like, there's no way his name is Sheila. You know, if I'm Finkel and I'm Eddie Hearn, I know how much money that this fight's going to make, especially to boxing purists. But the fact that you get to market a heavyweight unification fight finally with an American heavyweight fighter, 50-50, you're still eating for the next few years. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think you have to worry about it. That fight's not doing – it's not doing post-Al Crawford numbers. As an example, with numbers we gave out earlier of the 50K, It's not doing that. Go out there and just put the damn fight on TV. And I hope this happens. I really do. And I'm still wondering where they take the fight. Going to that aspect, because I do think part of it, yeah, you could say, you know, home field kind of matters, but I think home field doesn't necessarily matter aside from the factor of travel, maybe. You know, if I'm Anthony Joshua, I don't have to travel if you're coming to where I am, you know, or if I'm Wilder and, you know, how he does the Birmingham thing all the time too, you know, with the one place. I don't have to travel anywhere. So I think that adds a little bit of dictatorship for a home field or home ring or whatever you want to call it. That makes it worth a little bit, but man, I'm really long winning this question. Holy crap. But it's one of those things like, does it matter or where do you want this fight to happen? After me banting for 4 minutes there. Holy shit. That was terrible.
I would say the first fight probably should happen in the UK and then the rematch should happen in the United States. I think they should split where they fight. We all know this fight, when it eventually does happen, there's going to be a rematch. It's going to be at least two. These guys are going to fight at least twice. So,
do you think it's one of the same hopes, kind of like, you know, with Triple G and Canelo, with what I had hoped for until I saw that the numbers were worse in the second fight, Kovalev Ward, where you want this to be a trilogy?
Yeah, I think trilogy would be great. It just kind of depends on, like, how good the fights are. But, I mean, I don't know when the last time we got a good heavyweight trilogy was. I mean,
Is the trilogy factor overrated?
Huh?
Is the trilogy factor overrated from what it used to be? Like, are people just always hoping for a trilogy and it really doesn't have the same legs that it used to?
I wouldn't say that. I just, with the way boxing is set up these days and with the way how demanding people are with how much money they get and stuff now compared to back then, I think it's hard to set up trilogies unless negotiations go, like, exactly perfect.
Do you think we'll see a trilogy? I was getting ready to make a joke.
A lot of times there's so many issues with, like, negotiations and stuff that these guys probably don't want to deal with each other ever again after, like, the first time.
God, that's so true. And that sucks. You know, I'm not going to rant about it. I've done that enough. But that, God, you're so right.
I mean, I don't know if there's going to be a trilogy. I would probably lean, like, no. But anything can happen. But I will say there will be at least two fights in this, between these two guys.
I know this is way off topic, but I just saw this and it made me laugh. There was a fight in Philadelphia on Saturday. Did you see the main event fight? It was an 8-round lightweight fight.
No, I didn't.
Man that we talked about, Hank the Tank Frank Lundy fought DeMarcus Chop Chop Corley.
Chop Chop is still fighting?
Yeah, that's why I stopped and I was watching, like, do you think we'll get a trilogy? Because my mind was blown. I was like, wait a minute. I had to read it like three times.
Dude, do you know Chop Chop fought Floyd when Floyd was like really young, like when
he
Floyd
fought him
was
before, like the
he fought him in his mid 20s, 30s, right? Yeah, I believe he was when Floyd was like still like a lightweight or something. Like,
he fought him before Zab, didn't he?
Yeah, he fought him when he was still pretty boy Floyd. Like,
jeez,
Kudos to Chop Chop for still being able to fight, though. I mean, jeez.
What was the result of the fight?
I don't know. I pulled up ESPN's schedule because I wanted to see kind of what things in that heavyweight division were kind of being laid out when you were kind of talking about the trilogy aspect, and I stopped and I had to re-scroll and I was like, there's no way that that's his DeMarcus Corley.
Yeah.
So I was like, what? I'll try to pull up results. Shout out to Tuesday. There's a Tuesday, February 13th fight in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. Get your Amazon Fire Sticks because third to the top, your main event, Frank D'Alba takes on Carlos Padilla, Michael Fox against Ricardo Garcia in the semi, and your third from the top, Marquise Taylor, in a 10-round welterweight clash with Kermit Cintron.
Oh, God.
We all can remember the day Kermit Cintron beat Shane Mosley.
Hey, you, Kermit Cintron got you back in the boxing.
Yeah, he did. Is that something that makes you mad? Like, is that something like, as a boxing purist, you're like, ugh, that's what got him back into boxing? Or is it a, hey, that's cool that somebody so non-relevant got somebody into the sport, meaning that anybody can get into any fight and get back into boxing?
Hey, man, I can't hate on it. If that's what got you back into boxing, I'm just glad you're back in it.
I will never forget that the left-handed uppercut with the right cross that sent him backwards and then sideways, like getting hit two different directions in John Madden football.
I will never forget when Kermit Cintron jumped out of the ring to avoid fighting Paul Williams, and then said, "My shoulders hurt," after he jumped out of the ring, like literally, like threw himself and jumped out of the ring. I'll never forget that. That's why I call him Kermit Jumptron.
So if you top story, Hank Lundy vows to give vicious beating to DeMarcus Corley. Wait a minute. Let me look at this. If you go on YouTube, ladies and gentlemen, is this? Oh no, it's not. It's one of those fake links. I was gonna say somebody posted the fight on YouTube. Hank Lundy outpoints DeMarcus Corley in Chop Chop's 80th pro fight.
Chop Chop has 80 fights.
And by the way, in this promo picture, Hammer and Hank Lundy looks way worse off than DeMarcus Corley does. 79-72 on two of the cards and 78-73 on the third in this lightweight non-title fight. Corley, 43, fighting in his 80th pro fight, did not look his age as he pumped his jab up and down and calmly evaded most of Lundy's heavy swings in the first few rounds. Lundy had started to fight as a southpaw, but found himself too open for Corley's counters, particularly in the fourth when a right hook high on the head buzzed him momentarily. Then he turned orthodox, neutralized Corley's hand, and finished the fight on points. Chop Chop is now 50 wins, 29 losses, and one draw.
Yeah, I was gonna guess that. I was gonna be like, how many losses does he have? I'm gonna guess 30. I was close.
Get this. This is where the Manny Pacquiao fight isn't as egregious as we may have thought it was. In his post fight interview, Lundy called for a shot at WBA ring lightweight champion Jorge Linares, which he pronounced George Linares. Even George Linares, a fight he says he wants despite not being rated in the top 15 by the WBA. He's talking about fighting Lomachenko, but you've got to talk some big bucks, man, because I ain't stepping aside. You got to fight me. What is a worse fight? George Linares, Jorge Linares against Hank Lundy? Or Terrence Crawford, or excuse me, Vasily Lomachenko against Manny Pacquiao.
I'm gonna go with the first one.
Oh my God, I don't want to see Hank Lundy near a title. The best part is he said in the interview, despite not being ranked in the top 15 by the WBA, you got to pay me some big bucks to step aside. Why does he have to pay you to step aside? He's not even walking near you.
He should change his name to Hammered Hank Lundy because he sounds like he's been drinking a lot that night.
Get it! Seriously, who the hell does Hank Lundy think he is to try to get a fight with Jorge Linares? That's ridiculous.
Hey, man, you got to promote yourself.
Yeah. You're not wrong. When you're right, Eliza. I'm truly excited that I decided to scroll through this schedule because the fact that I can't believe that. And then that get to hear that post. I want to find that post fight. I wonder if we can get that as a sounder next week. Oh my gosh. Kind of just looking over the score. Good Lord. I am on a roll tonight here, ladies and gentlemen. Thankfully Elijah is carrying the show because my son has been a handful today, ladies and gentlemen. Let me just say that. in a good way. I'm not complaining. But you don't get much show prep done when you got a football being thrown at your head by a kid who doesn't know how to throw a football. You really got to pay attention. Anyway, before we wrap up, we got just another half hour here left. Going over the schedule here, just kind of the rest of this quarter, February, March, we can kind of dabble a little of April. Just kind of looking at some of these upcoming fights as these cards are more coming together. ESPN's running a show February 16th. We get a Bryant Jennings fight on the undercard, an 8-rounder. We get a Shakur Stevenson fight against Juan Tapia. Oh, my goodness. David Glenn Avenesian.
Tapia or Juan Tapia?
Juan Tapia.
Okay, good. Glenn
should
man.
I call him John? If I'm going off of the Hank Lundy, John, I didn't have a
John Tapia.
Yeah.
John Tapia.
David Avenesian is the B side on a welterweight fight against Egadigis Cavaliscus. No idea who this guy is, but he's the A-side on the semi-main event for ESPN. Do you know who this guy is?
I've never heard of the second guy, but I have heard of the David guy.
Yeah, David Avenesian. He was the one who I was saying fought Spence pretty well when he was actually kind of working the body a little bit. And then before, obviously, getting put out. But when that was my example I had in the notes, and then we didn't get to do the show that weekend, so I couldn't drop those notes. But he's the B side of this dude, Cavaliscus, no relation to Zildrunas Ilgauskas. And then Paulus Moses gets a WBO lightweight vacant fight with Raymundo Beltran in the main event.
Raymundo.
I'm intrigued to see Brian Jennings still kind of sticking around in the division. Shakur Stevenson. He's always one of those guys kind of that I feel like should be doing more and then just doesn't do more, if that makes sense.
Yeah, you don't really hear about him too much.
He had that, like, initial, like, up-and-coming run, and then he had that – I believe he lost a few fights ago and he kind of dropped off. But, hey, I mean, he's still getting bookings. He's still showing up. Saturday, the 17th on Showtime – we get a David Benavidez versus Ronald Gavril rematch, 12 rounds for Benavidez' super middleweight title. I believe, once again, as we had talked about earlier, Crawford may fight Benavidez. We tried to figure out who Benavidez was, and then we realized he was your knockout of the year with his piston Honda-like punches on the dude on the ropes.
Oh, God, that was hilarious.
And then in your main event, in a eliminator, Danny Garcia, Brandon Rios.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you are ecstatic for that fight. Do you think Rios could beat him?
No.
Rios said this is his comeback fight. He's going to take it to Garcia and defeat him.
Doubt it. He's too slow, and he's too beat up.
I'll help you here.
No!
We'll give him that. PBC will be on Fox. We're seeing some actual primetime fights this Saturday. And there's some actually interesting fights. We have 1, 2, 3, 4. We have 5 fights that all have name value to them. Like I said, it's going to be on Fox. I don't know how many of these will be on like FS1, but we get in the 5th from the top. Juan D'Angel takes it on in an 8-round junior middleweight fight against Austin Trout.
Ooh.
8 or 10 round junior middleweight fight as well. The next fight on the card, Tony Harrison's fighting the dreaded to be announced. Hopefully, Tony the Hitman Harrison can come back. Yeah. That's Dentress's Kermit Cintron. Then in a 6-round lightweight fight, Jorge Rojas takes on Carlos Balderas. Then in an IBF super middleweight eliminator fight, we get Rogelio Porky Mejia taking on Caleb Plant.
Porky, that's the guy who got knocked out by that was the recipient of the knockout of the year. Like, that was the guy on the receiving end.
Caleb Plant, another guy who I have a little bias for, like Wilder, because he was at the WBC party. So obviously,
he's good, but where has he been like lately? I haven't heard. He's been kind of. Did he get injured or something? He hasn't really.
That's the only thing I can think of is maybe he hurt his hand or something. Because I'm right there with you. It seemed like he was fighting and he was always on these PBC shows. Like he was always like 3rd or 4th from the top, like one of the first matches. And then he just stopped being on these shows.
Interesting.
And then in your main event, 12-round welterweight fight, Devin Alexander versus Victor Ortiz.
Oh, yay.
I can tell how excited you are for that fight. Would that fight have been way tighter 6 years ago?
Yeah, that fight would have been way better like 6 years ago. But, I mean, who knows? I mean, Ortiz has been in some really good fights. Maybe this one will be another action-packed fight.
Is this just a fight to throw on because it may get ratings because people know these guys just from the past?
More than likely, yeah. But you can always hope.
Same day, this Saturday, George Groves, Chris Eubank Jr. for Groves' super middleweight title. It's the World Boxing Super Series semifinal. Get out your fire sticks, bootleg it up if you'd like.
This
should
is a fight
a
that
fight,
I would
though.
Like to watch. This would
yeah,
be a,
that's,
this
that's
would be...
the one that should have been on TV.
Yeah, because, I mean, these guys have been doing some major trash talking to each other. And there's like a lot of bad blood between these two because I think Groves beat Eubank Jr. already, or maybe they had a draw or something, but there's history between these guys. And there's been a lot of like back and forth disparaging comments about either one of them. And Chris Eubank's dad was getting into it. And it's been pretty interesting. If these were two like American guys, this fight probably would have got a lot more publicity over here because of how much trash they're talking to each other. So I will try and watch it.
Yeah, I'm going to see if I can boot it up on the Fire Stick, and because I think it'll be like a 2 o'clock bell time potentially. So I might be maybe before I get to work on Friday or at 4. Then the following Saturday, unfortunately, we're going to have to watch it on DVR. Elijah, I'm expecting after Kill Switch that you potentially follow me, if your buddy would like to as well, to my humble estate, as we will be able to see Superfly 2 that evening. Brian Valori against Artem Dalakhin. Donnie Nietes versus Juan Carlos Revevko. McWilliams Arroyo, Carlos Cuadras, and then Juan Francisco Estrada against Sarissa Katsoa Rungbi Asai. I cannot wait for that show.
Yeah. It's going to be a fun one. I feel like Rungbi Asai is going to crush Estrada, though.
Dude, that dude is just like a bolt of lightning. Just like, all right, here I come. Who is Boy Jones Jr.?
Boy Jones?
Yeah, Boy Jones Jr.
Interesting.
He fights a Reynaldo Mora in an 8-round lightweight fight.
Never heard of the guy.
I thought maybe that was just like a typo, but then I'm like, nah, Roy Jones definitely ain't a lightweight anymore.
Speaking of Roy Jones, he's finally hanging him up.
Yeah, he gets his win. Kudos to him. Congratulations. Did you watch any of the fight or check out any highlights or anything?
No. No, I don't, like, he's probably one of my favorite fighters of all time, and I have a hard time watching him now.
Yeah, after those Tarver fights, it was like, whoa. It's like that guy doesn't lose.
He should have never moved up to heavyweight.
Yeah, after he fought, who was that guy? Diaz?
It was John Ruiz.
John Ruiz, yes.
And Lennox Lewis used to call him John Luis.
Yeah, what, you know, once he came back down, he never was the same. You know, but to his credit, he can still say that he did that. Because that was still an incredible feat back in the day.
Yeah.
That same night next Saturday, we get the Callum Smith, Jurgen Bramer, super middleweights, World Boxing Super Series semifinal, the other fight. So that's pretty interesting that's happening. March 1st, it's on BN Sports Espanol on a tape delay. Get your fire sticks out. But this fight could be the fight of the first quarter. Shinsuke Yamanaka gets his rematch against Luis Neri for the bantamweight WBC title. Yamanaka had the injuries coming back, taking the fight. I think we're going to see some fireworks in this fight. I really am. I'm excited for it. I hope I can get a hold of it. Fire stick, don't fail me now. But then March 3rd, I mean, look, Jen doesn't come back until March 5th. Are you HBO and Showtime, or are you just HBO right now?
I have both.
Do you?
Unfortunately.
Unfortunately, okay. Well, we might have to see.
A lot of money, man.
Yeah, no, I'm not disagreeing with you. Shout out to I don't pay the cable bill, so I guess I can be happy about it and not have to worry about the pocket. Shout out to XL Energy, that takes my money. But we might have to get a group get together. This is the final hoorah. I would have the house alone for the weekend. HBO, Dimitri Bivol, Sullivan Barrera for Bivol's WBA light heavyweight. And on that same show, we get Sergey Kovalev against Igor Mikhalkin, WBO light heavyweight title. Could be a prelude to Kovalev-Bivol, which might blow up the world with those punches. Same night, Showtime's flipping the script. Jermall Charlo against Hugo Centeno, WBC interim middleweight title. And then lastly, Deontay Wilder, Luis Ortiz, 12 rounds for Wilder's WBC heavyweight title. That is four fights that are going to make. I'll tell you this, Elijah, March 4th, that's going to be a easy show for us that night.
Yeah.
I mean, that's gift wrap to us right there.
Yeah, man, it's going to be fun. I just don't know. What if Ortiz upsets Wilder?
I'm still one of those people that has a small, like maybe a 5 to 10%. It's small. That I just don't think, because of, I know it's the sample size of the other guys, but I think there's still some kind of a scary shot that Ortiz and Parker both win. I don't think the odds are very good, but I also made a bet and picked the Lakers to beat Houston, 12-point dogs on Houston's 14-game win streak, and they came back and beat them by double digits. And I also picked the Heat to win in Boston that night when they were 15-point dogs. I've seen crazier things happen. I know that's basketball, but it's still heavy, huge upsets that happen on the same night. I don't think it happens, but I mean, is this one of those things where it feels like Wilder was foreshadowing when he was talking about the Lennox Lewis and Riddick Bowe?
I hope not.
You know what I mean? Like, is that did he Matt Hardy us? He had a premonition.
He didn't slap no tornadoes.
But anyway, staying on that track there. There's more good fights Saturday the 3rd. Once again, fire stick it if you got them. Sheffield, England, we get a Kid Galahad fight. We also get Gamal Yafai against Gavin McDonald, junior featherweight fight. And then we get Sergey Rebchenko against Kell Brook. That could be a fun fight. And then over in Weissenfels, Germany, Dominic Bosel takes on never mind. That's a guy that I actually don't care about. I thought it was Derevianchenko. It's Demchenko. Scratch that fight. That one's off my list. No offense to those guys either. March 6th, Tono Landero takes on Knockout CP Freshmart for CP Freshmart's WBA strawweight title. I always got to love when you see Knockout CP Freshmart on a fight card.
Interesting.
March continues with the trend. Friday the 9th, we get Ronnie Rios on an ESPN2 card. Also, in Deadwood, South Dakota on Showtime, we get Ivan Baranchuk taking on Anthony Yigit, and then we get Regis Prograis against Victor Postol.
Ooh, that's going to be a good one.
Yeah. That's a nice little two-piece. The next night on ESPN, we get Oscar Valdez against Scott Quigg for the WBO featherweight. And then on Showtime, the same night, Sergey Lipinier against Mikey Garcia. We got a Richard Kame, Alejandro Luna fight, and then a Rancis Bartholomew against Kirill Relic. There is a lot of good fights in these first two weekends.
Too much.
New York is going to have a real deal boxing fight. I have no idea what the hell that means. I'm guessing it's a Bounce TV thing.
Who's on it?
It just says Real Deal Boxing. And if you want something interesting, that is the real deal. In Toowoomba, Australia, that same day, Jack Aces takes on Ravon Cesar in a 5-round junior lightweight fight. Have you ever heard of a 5-round fight?
Yeah, like very early. I think it was like 3, 5, sometimes 6, then 8. 10, then like,
yeah, I've always seen 4, 6, 8, 10, 12. I've never seen odd number, I think, is what threw me off. Following weekend, Michael Conlon's going to fight a 6 or 8 round fight on ESPN. That fight also will have Alexander Bodzik against Mehdi Amar for a vacant WBC interim light heavyweight title. And your main event, Jose Ramirez against Amir Imam, WBC junior welterweight title.
That's a name you haven't heard for a while, Amir Imam. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he. I remember he was right up there, and then he was in that eliminator, and he lost, and just kind of just shot down there for a minute.
Didn't he lose to Adrian Granados?
Yeah, I think that's who it was. I think you're right.
Like he was beating the brakes off of Granados, if I remember correctly, and then he got knocked out like late or something.
Yeah, I think it was like an eighth, ninth round knockout. I remember that because I just remember it was such a flash knockout too.
Yeah, because
you know he worked his way back up. March 31st, ESPN2 is going to be running a Golden Boy show that same night or day, I guess. Showtime's running Alexander Povetkin against David Price, and then the Anthony Joshua Joseph Parker fight.
Ooh.
March is just full of boxing. April 7th, now announced Jarrett Hurd, Arizlani Lara, and an IBF WBA middleweight unification.
Hopefully
April 14th in London.
Lara fight.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, Lara's good, but his fights can be kind of lackluster because of his style.
And didn't he have kind of the bum fight on that junior middleweight show that Showtime did a few months ago? The one where we saw somebody got smoked. That was oh, who was it that got like knocked out the first punch? The sledgehammer and the hammer or the jackhammer were his arms. The hell was his name?
Oh, Erickson Lubin.
Yes. Lubin got knocked out like one punch. Wasn't that by Jared Hurd?
No, Charlo.
Charlo, yes.
That was a fight that I was super excited for. And then I was like, what the hell is happening?
Wait a minute. I didn't expect that. April 14th in London, Terry Flanagan against Maurice Hooker. Once again, I still don't know how Maurice Hooker is getting fights. Watching that man. I had to go find a stand at T-Mobile Arena in Vegas that sold monsters because I fell asleep in my seat during that fight. Like Isaiah woke me up. He like elbowed me and I was like, oh my God, how long was I out? He's like about a round. Yeah. I said, holy crap. He's like, yeah, dude, this fight sucks.
Yeah. That was a terrible fight. I remember that. He was fighting some little dude and the little dude was like probably should have won.
And then Billy Joe Saunders defends his middleweight against Martin Murray. Does that do anything
Martin
for you?
Murray's still fighting.
Yeah.
I've always liked Martin Murray.
There is a lot April 21st. But, yeah, don't break down Martin Murray before we finish off April here, before we get rolling.
Oh, I just said I always liked Martin Murray. He's always been, like, he's always been a game fighter. And, I mean, he had that fight against Sergio Martinez where a lot of people thought he beat Sergio Martinez and that he got robbed because the fight was in Argentina.
He got the Jeff Horn treatment.
Huh?
Martinez got the Jeff Horn treatment.
Yeah, and I mean when Murray fought Triple G, like Triple G beat him up, but he took a beating. And it was probably like the longest that someone at the time had lasted with Triple G.
That was that like Halloween fight or like right around Halloween when he ate that liver shot.
Yeah.
And came down in like a heap. Just this like disgustingly like you could see his like life force leave his body and he just dropped.
Yeah.
April 21st on Showtime, Gervonta Davis will be fighting on the undercard to the Adrian Bronner, Omar Figueroa, WBC Junior Welterweight Eliminator. Same night in Belfast.
Adrian Bronner is really fighting Omar Figueroa.
Yeah.
God, that'll be probably a pretty easy win for Bronner, and he'll still stay relevant enough to get another big fight.
Let me just, where does it go? There's a lot of S things on here that I didn't realize we have on. I forgot how many S shows. Here it is, right here.
Try
Belfast that night. Carl Frampton against Nonito Donaire. In Liverpool, we get.
Sorry, I was going to say that should be an interesting fight, but probably not because I feel like Donaire is probably done.
I just think it's interesting he's fighting Carl Frampton. You know, like it's one of those things where you kind of like when I scrolled and or basically changed the whole segment of the show to the schedule because I saw Chop Chop. And I'm like, no effing way he fought, as we were just talking about Hank Lundy too. Like scrolling through and you're like, Carl Frampton's fighting Nonito Donaire, huh? 12 round fight,
Hank
nothing on the
Lundy.
Line. Like how you called him hammered. We said tweet him everybody. Same night in Liverpool, Phil LaGreco against Amir Khan.
Amir Khan making his comeback.
Yep. He's somebody called out Khan, and I can't remember who it was. Weekend after Danny Jacobs fights, obviously, we get the Triple G Canelo Cinco de Mayo. The following weekend, we get Usyk and Gassiev in the Cruiserweight Super Series final. Keith Thurman on the 19th, same. Also on the 19th, Leader Alvarez on the undercard of the Adonis Stevenson Badu Jack. And now officially on the undercard, June 9th of the Santa Cruz Abner Mares rematch, Jermell Charlo will be defending his junior middleweight. And now just released June 16th in Dallas. Doesn't say where in Dallas. I don't think it's going to be in Jerryland. I'm guessing it'll be American Airlines. But Errol Spence is now signed on to defend his IBF welterweight title. Obviously no opponent yet to be named.
I'm sure it's a mandatory.
Yeah, I'll say this, though, for the sake of Errol Spence, who got outdrawn by Lucas Matisse. I'm glad he's fighting again. I want this dude fighting three times a year. This guy needs to be on TV three times a year. So I give him kudos to that. It is just about midnight. Any other fun boxing tidbit or anything you want to discuss before we close shop up in this piece?
Oh, what did you hear about Andre Ward and Tony?
Oh, yes. Thank you for bringing that up. I mentioned that on the segue. The segue. We don't have segues. What is that called? Is it a segue?
What? Yeah.
In my head, I'm going, that's not a segue to the next segment. That's what you ride around, or Garino rides around at the mall. But then I'm like, wait a minute. Segue, I guess, really is a segue. This is me trying to kill time pulling up this article again because I thought I had it on a separate page on my phone. And obviously I did. What did Tom Loeffler said? He said to everyone that says Aaron wants Spence Crawford in 2019, that says Canelo can knock out Gennady Golovkin. How are you going to be able to knock him out when you're always walking backwards?
That is true. Canelo spent most of that fight walking backwards.
So I thought that was a pretty interesting thing. Here we go. Eddie Hearn says he wants to put together a fight between former WBC World Cruiserweight Champion Tony Bellew and former two-division world champion Andre SOG Ward after the rematch against David Haye on May 5th. Hearn favors Bellew to beat the 32-year-old Ward, who hasn't fought since beating Kovalev by a controversial eighth-round knockout last year on June 17th in the rematch in Vegas. Hearn thinks that Bellew's size advantage will be too much for Ward to deal with as he started his career at super middleweight, and he only moved up to light heavyweight in 2016 in pursuit of a good-paying fight against Kovalev. And I quote, "I think Bellew has a great chance to beat Andre Ward at cruiserweight." So he wants Ward to fight him at cruiserweight as well, which he's not saying. Most people don't agree with me because Andre Ward is pound for pound, if not the best, one of the best fighters in the world. I think with Bellew in the ring at 15 stone plus, Andre Ward is a super middleweight who crept up to light heavyweight. It's a massive jump in weight to give away. I know Tony will be the underdog, but I would love to make Bellew versus Ward, and I believe Bellew will beat David Haye on May 5th and would like to make the Ward fight after.
I don't think there's any chance that Ward moves up to cruiserweight. That would be stupid.
I think for one, if I'm Andre Ward, I stepped up to the plate and I went and fought the juggernaut that was Kovalev. And I fought Kovalev to the point that, you know, Ward himself said, look, I obviously thought I won the fight, but there's enough people that thought I didn't win the fight. Let's do it again. And he stopped them. Whether you agree with the stoppage or not, I won that at the time didn't agree with it, but now I'm a little more okay with it because I think he would have stopped him in the next round regardless. So I don't think it mattered. I think even if he did deduct a point, regardless if you believe it or not, he's still stopping Kovalev in the next round. So therefore, he stopped Kovalev. What else does he have to prove?
Nothing.
That's why, like, and who the hell is Tony Bellew to try to come in there and fight Andre Ward?
Tony Bellew's a pretty good fighter, though, man. He's been in with a lot of good fighters around, like, the cruiser light heavyweight division. And, I mean, he's won. He's lost a few, but, I mean, it's just someone trying to find a big-name fight for his guy because, I don't know, there's not really a ton of big names at cruiserweight.
Except and now,
for, like,
this comes in. Bellew is also interested in fighting WBC WBO cruiserweight champion Oleksandr Usyk if he gets past IBF WBA champion Murat Gassiev in the finals of the World Boxing Super Series tournament May 11th. Bellew wants to try and use his WBC emeritus status to force Usyk to have to fight him. It may not work. Usyk apparently wants to move up to heavyweight after the tournament is over.
Wow.
That would be awesome if Usyk moves up.
Yeah, so what if Usyk moves up and then they have a Ward Bellew fight at cruiserweight for the championship that Usyk decided to get rid of?
It says Bellew will be wasting his time by trying to force Usyk to fight with him. He's already vacated his WBC title. So it sounds like he's just going to, if he wins, he's going to unify the four titles, say he did it and vacate and head up to that. People want to fight at heavyweight again. I love it. See, this stems all the way back to what we talked about with Joshua and Wilder. Just go 50-50 with the bitch and let's do this fight. Just do it.
Yeah.
And even though it's probably going to happen, don't get beat by Joseph Parker or Luis Ortiz. Don't ruin it this close to the fight happening. In that case, Bellew could get stuck fighting Christoph Milwaukee, and he probably wants nothing to do with that hard-hitting southpaw anyway. Glossy is not an easy mark like Iluga Makabu proved to be for Bellew with him winning the vacant WBC Cruiserweight title in 16. The World Boxing Council has greatly improved the ranking since then with Glossy ranked number one. Bellew would probably lose badly to Glossy by a knockout if he made the mistake of agreeing to fight with him, which I don't even think he will. So these people don't even think he's going to beat the guy who he'd have to fight because the other two guys won't fight him.
Interesting stuff.
Eddie Hearn, just stop. This is 2 weeks in a row now. Eddie Hearn has said some of the most egregious things. He's making Al Haymon and Bob Arum look tame right now, dude. Have you ever thought those words would come out of somebody's mouth?
No.
Gosh. But hey,
what if Eddie Hearn was related to Chick Hearn?
Oh, man, that'd be weird. Because why is he British if the other one's not? Chick Hearn isn't.
You would hate Chick Hearn if Eddie Hearn was related to Chick Hearn.
Right now, I might. Yeah, I'm definitely not on the Eddie Hearn side. What if Eddie Hearn, like, this was like a Scooby-Doo episode, and they pulled his face off, and it was Don King?
That would be hilarious.
Or, like, they pull his face off, and it's Al Haymon.
Meddling kids.
Al Haymon, how did you get here? I have two camps of fighters now. No!
I would have gotten away with it if it wasn't for you meddling kids.
that's... Oh, my gosh. That's... Eddie Hearn in the last 2 weeks, if it wasn't for Magic Johnson getting fined $50,000 for tampering, I would say is the most egregious person I've seen in the last month, in 2018.
Wow.
But thankfully, Adam Silver officially took that trump card away from him. So, Eddie Hearn, you better be lucky. You better be lucky. I guess he said some stupid stuff. Oh my god, it's so frustrating. I still can't get over when Wilder puts his promoter on and Eddie Hearn starts admitting, well, we talked about this. Oh, you said you didn't talk to no one. Well, no, I mean, we did talk, but we didn't talk. Oh, you did. He sounds like he got caught cheating on his wife, and the girlfriend or the wife called the girlfriend because they like Usher R. Kelly, same girl duet, set him up on the phone. McCalla up at a home. She won't know I'm on the phone. You know, that was kind of what it felt like happened to him, because he sounded like when D'Antoni got called out about Pau Gasol. Man, Pau good. Because this dude is a goof. Him and his stupid Doctor Who haircut. Go back to your TARDIS, bitch.
Whoa.
Sorry.
That's our dad.
Jesus!
Oh, man.
We thank y'all for listening. This show has completely went off the rail here. But that's okay. Because, hey, we made something out of nothing, because there was not a lot to talk about this week. It really wasn't. We dropped 100 or an hour and 40 minutes. I didn't think we were going to get past an hour. I had no show prep. Like I said, Elijah carried the show. I failed miserably at running this soundboard and leading these questions. So kudos to Elijah for carrying the load.
We had a rough start, but we made it through.
It's okay. Remember, it's just like Monster Hunter. It all works out in the end. You just got to ride it out.
I had to excuse myself for a minute.
Okay, we'll get another one of these.
Jesus!
WrestleCast tomorrow. Talking some new beginning in Osaka. Some 205 Lives kind of coming back, and it's kind of nice. We got a whole potpourri of wrestling topics. It's probably going to be one of those things where we're going to go past 2 hours again, and we're going to go in there with nothing to talk about, and then we're going to realize there's 900 things to talk about. I want to talk to Alex about All Japan streaming service starting up. I think it's going to be awesome. We got the New Japan cards in Australia, where I am excited as all hell. Tomohiro Ishii and Kazuchika Okada are going to face the Young Bucks. That's going to be fantastic. So there's a lot of good stuff coming up. Raw, SmackDown, doing what they normally do. But for myself and Elijah McNeil, we appreciate y'all listening. Standing 8 Count, we are on the Strong Style Media, iTunes, Stitcher, Radio, TuneIn, Google Play, the blog talk you're hearing us on now. Shout out to all of our sponsors as well, SeatGeek, Amazon, Lyft, Stamps.com, DraftKings, Fanatics, and Onnit.com. Hit them all up. We got Strong Style promo codes on everything. Buy yourself something nice. Give us a little kickback to the show. We can all help each other. It's all good. One more time for the congregation.
Jesus!
We will catch you next
time. Oh, man.